Dave is going to go ahead and give us the word this morning, but before that, I'd give us a little intro, kind of like what we've been talking about. As we approach Easter, we're not doing something a little different than what maybe other churches would do, is we're not directly talking about the path that Jesus took to Calvary, as much as we're going to be continuing to look at the characters that Jesus interacted on the way. Does that make sense? I hope that does. So last week, we talked about Martha and Mary and Lazarus and the kind of the faith debacle that they had believing a promise that Jesus gave, and just kind of the human nature to doubt Jesus in times of trials. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to watch a video of Barabbas. And Daniel, why don't you go ahead and play the video?
Which prisoner do you want me to pardon? Barabbas or Jesus, the so-called Christ?
Barabbas!
What should I do with Jesus?
Crucify him!
Nail him to a tree!
What has he done wrong?
They're crucifying him.
Barabbas. They're crucifying the man that took your place. I don't mean your place. I'm not saying you should be crucified.
Our cells are next to each other.
The crowd is picking up. We need to go.
There was a hole in the wall between the cells. I could pull a piece out and see him. I saw everything.
Barabbas, the Romans may have let you go, but they aren't going to let you live.
They beat him. They cursed him. They spit on him.
He never said a thing.
He never fought back.
Once we get out of town and find someone to treat your wound...
Did you see what they did to him? His back. That crown. Those thorns.
At least it wasn't you.
Why not? Why not me? Why him?
I don't know why not. But if we're going to leave, we need to leave now.
Stop! Stop talking! Just...
So today we're going to talk about the mystery. Start off, have you ever been guilty of something but ended up not being punished? Now I'm going to start with the police analogy, and I'm sorry, it's kind of part of my life experience, but I have to draw where I can. Have you ever felt that sickening feeling in the pit of your stomach when the flashing lights of a patrol car came up behind you? Yes, you were speeding, but you were just going along with the flow of traffic on the highway, right? Great. this is going to cost you a big fine and your insurance is going to go up. And you prepare to move to the shoulder of the road and you hope your registration is in the glove box and still current. And then the officer flies by you and pulls over the guy in the car just ahead. This must be your lucky day. Too bad for the other guy. He took your place and got the ticket today. Maybe that little scare caused you to drive with your hands at 2 and 10 on the wheel and that you slowed down to the speed limit. Perhaps you settled back into your seat with one hand on the wheel and floored it, since the other guy got caught instead of you. Regardless, you live to drive another day without a speeding ticket. Well, chances are that most of us who drive can relate to that speeding ticket escape scenario. Chances are low that any of us have found ourselves locked up on death row. That's a different level of criminal activity. If we were on death row, chances are even lower than what happened, that someone might take our place and allow us to walk free. But that's what happened when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, took the place of Barabbas, a violent insurrectionist, and died in his place on the cross. You know, the great reformer Martin Luther has been credited with labeling this event the Great Exchange. The innocent one, Jesus, became guilty so that the guilty one might become innocent. New Testament the old theologian T.F. Wright suggested, the story of Barabbas invites us to see Jesus' crucifixion in terms of a stark personal exchange. Barabbas deserved to die, and Jesus dies instead. And Barabbas goes free. Now I see this as a preview of the sacrifice that Jesus would make for all of mankind on the cross. All four Gospels reference the great exchange, the exchange of Jesus for Barabbas. However, the Bible is silent regarding what happened to Barabbas after he was released, when Jesus went to the cross in his place. What the Bible writers do speak about is what kind of a person Barabbas was. Matthew called him a notorious prisoner. And they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas, Matthew 27:16. And Mark described him as a rebel. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And Luke let us know that Barabbas was a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. In Acts, Luke spoke of Barabbas as a murderer. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Pilate tried to release Jesus, but he was overcome by the crowd's insistence that he release Barabbas instead. And notice the description of Barabbas when Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And after he had said that, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, not this man, not Barabbas, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. The word John used to describe Barabbas as a robber is lestis. While lestis can mean robber, it's probably more accurate to say that the word refers to someone who is an insurrectionist, a rebel. In fact, the same word is translated as insurrection in Mark 15 and Luke 23. Now, neither theft nor violent robbery was a capital offense, but insurrection was. Revolts and bloodshed fostered by guerrilla actions were common. And Barabbas had been caught. In the eyes of many of the people, he would not be a notorious villain, but a hero. The reason that Barabbas might have been viewed as by some as a hero was that the Israelites were sick and tired of the oppression and the occupation by Rome. What Jewish man had not at least considered what it would be like to lead a rebellion against Rome? Perhaps Barabbas had become so fed up with his circumstance that he did what others were afraid to do. Some may have seen Barabbas as a man who was trying to save his people from the Roman Empire. Now, there is substantial manuscript evidence that Jesus Barabbas was his full name. If the name Jesus is true for Barabbas, Pilate's question is pointed. Which Jesus did they want? Jesus means Savior. And each offered himself as a Savior. Jesus the Christ as Savior from sin, and Jesus Barabbas as Savior from Rome. The crowd, stirred up by the chief priests and elders, chose Barabbas. Now, whether Barabbas was regarded as a hero or a notorious villain, he was involved in insurrection and murder within the city. Such crimes were punished by crucifixion, which was a warning to all who tried to take up arms against Rome. Crucifixion was violent and painful and a trademark of Roman power. Some scholars suggest that the two men crucified with Jesus may have been a part of the insurrection with Barabbas. Matthew 27:38 hints at this. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. The word used for robbers is that same word that John used to identify Barabbas, lesta. It's likely that these men were being crucified because they, like Barabbas, were part of an insurrection. They weren't being crucified because they stole a jug of milk or broke into a neighbor's house. They were involved in something much bigger than mere robbery. And the fact that three crosses were already prepared strongly suggests that Pilate already had ordered that preparation to be made for the execution of the three rebels. And if so, Jesus the Messiah actually took the place of the rebel Barabbas because the people preferred the political rebel, a nationalist hero, instead of the Son of God. And if that indeed was the case, Jesus was probably crucified on the very cross originally constructed for Barabbas. As the Barabbas character said in the scene we just watched, he took my place. And this changes everything. Now, it's interesting to note that the name Barabbas means son of the father. And the name Abba, or father, has been found as different individuals' names in the first century at various burial locations around Jerusalem. So Barabbas would not be an unusual name for the child of a man named Abba. There is irony in that Barabbas, the one called son of the father, was released while Jesus, the true son of the father, went to his death. It truly was the great exchange. In those days, people who heard the story of Barabbas likely identified with the man who rebelled against Rome, was captured and sentenced to die, and then was freed. It has been suggested that the Jewish people during that time might have pondered the story of the guilty man freed and the innocent man crucified. They may have looked upon this and thought, "There but for the grace of God go I." Now Pilate couldn't believe that the crowd wanted Barabbas released instead of Jesus. Over and over in the four gospel accounts, we see Pilate expressing Jesus' innocence. "What evil has he done? I am innocent of this man's blood," he said in Matthew 27. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people, and after examining him before you, behold, I do not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death." Then in John 18, Pilate went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Pilate went out again and said, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." Now, it's interesting to note that Pilate had the authority to not only judge Jesus innocent and release him, but he also could have released Barabbas at the same time. It was in Pilate's purview and power to release both men if he desired. Mark's account gives us insight as to why Pilate ultimately chose to release Barabbas and condemn Jesus to death. And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. You know, although Pilate stated over and over that he believed Jesus to be innocent, he wanted to satisfy the crowd more than he wanted to stand by his convictions. The politics of the day superseded the principle of Pilate's life. John's gospel goes so far as to state that Pilate's desire to release Jesus caused the Jewish people to question Pilate's political loyalties to Caesar. In John 19, it says, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." And with such political threats from the swelling Jewish mob, Pilate satisfied the crowd rather than do what he believed was right. Pilate's insecurities and fear led him to have Jesus scourged and sent him off to his death. The great exchange was underway. Listen again to the haunting words from Barabbas. He took my place. And this changes everything. Now the march to the cross was filled with anguish that should have been Barabbas's and pain and suffering that should have been ours. It must, however, be borne in mind that the suffering of the man of sorrows was not only intense, but vicarious. Remember that in Isaiah 51, or 53, excuse me, the passage Jesus identified with on our behalf, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. This is a prophecy from Isaiah about Jesus. And it leads to Barabbas and to us. The Apostle Paul would later recall the same vicarious suffering that Jesus endured as the great exchange. When he said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds you have been healed. It should have been Barabbas scourged and led to the death on the cross. It should have been me. It should have been you. But instead, the great exchange took place. This is, in fact, the climax and focus of the whole gospel. All sinners, all rebels, all the human race are invited to see themselves in the figure of Barabbas. And as we do, we discover in this story that Jesus comes to take our place. Under condemnation for sins and wickedness, great and small, that he didn't do. God's mercy reaches out where human mercy could not. Not only sharing, but in this case, substituting for the sinner's fate. And perhaps the question posed by Pilate echoes in our ears and our heart and our life. Then what should I do with the Jesus who is called the Christ? This is the most inescapable question every human being faces. We don't know what Barabbas did in response to the freedom he experienced in exchange for Jesus' death. Perhaps he went on with his notorious life of sin. Perhaps, as the scene we just watched suggested, this changed everything for Barabbas. But more important question is, what shall you do with Jesus, who's called Christ? Will you continue to live life under your terms without any charge? Or will you receive what took place at the great exchange? The Apostle Paul summed up the great exchange in 2 Corinthians 5 when he said, "For our sake, God the Father made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Christ's sacrifice at Calvary brought about the sinner's release from prison, from the bondage of sin. Just as the crowd had a choice back then, the crowd, us, has the same choice this very day. The crowd back at the cross chose the sinner in sin over the Savior in salvation. Pilate said to the crowd, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And the choice is the same today. Barabbas or Jesus? Sin or salvation? Sin means bondage to sin and eternal destiny in the lake of fire. And salvation means freedom from sin and eternal destiny in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's think. The Bible doesn't say, but where did Barabbas end up after his release? What kind of life did he lead in the days that followed? Have you ever wondered about that? The Bible is silent on what happened to Barabbas. History is also silent. I read in a Bible encyclopedia that nothing is known concerning the subsequent history of Barabbas. Nobody knows. And yet, I'd like to offer a couple of scenarios to what might have happened to him, though we don't have any evidence for any of it. It's just my conjecture. But I think either scenario might be close to the truth. The first scenario is of what became a Barabbas in my mind is that he was so struck by the turn of events that had accompanied his release that his attention was captured and he sought a change in his life. And quite possibly, hopefully, that change he sought, including asking God for forgiveness of sin, being born again, and living for the Lord. Could Barabbas have been among the 120 in the upper room when the Spirit fell on Pentecost? He could have been there. Why not if he'd accepted Christ? It's just conjecture. This first scenario of mine. And whether you agree with it or not, this could have been what happened to Barabbas. And then there's scenario number two. Barabbas went right back to his old life upon being set free. He robbed again. He took part in insurrection-type activities again. It could be that he even murdered again. Might Barabbas have ended up back in prison, condemned and awaiting execution a second time? This just might very well have been how Barabbas ended up. And after all that God had done for him to bring about his release, I was thinking that this would be a most saddening turn of events indeed. And certainly, I've only been conjecturing about what became of Barabbas here. But by doing so, we've really been afforded what are the two responses that any person can make towards what Jesus has done to set them free from sin. Number one, a person can respond by surrendering his life to God, to follow and obey him. Or number two, a person can go on living like he's been living, apart from the Lord, apart from freedom, even though Jesus has made it so that he can be free. It's a choice that each of us have to make. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back down. As we more greatly understand the depth of our sin, we see that I am Barabbas. I am the one so clearly guilty and deserving of condemnation, but was set free because of the willing substitution of the Son of God in my place. As Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, the great exchange is waiting for everyone. If you allow Jesus to take all your pain and suffering caused by your sin, you can take on the righteousness of God and live the life he always intended for you. This isn't a speeding ticket to get out of. This is life-changing. The great exchange. So who will you choose? Barabbas or Jesus? The choice is yours. Jesus took your place. And this changes everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we see in your scripture over and over the wonderful, merciful gift of salvation that has been made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus. And that he willingly went to this sacrifice knowing what was going to happen. But he did it for us. He did it for the world. He did it for every single person, whether they choose him or not. He went to the cross for the salvation of every single human being. Lord, let us understand the magnitude and the love involved in this gift. And let us always reach out to God and to Jesus for our salvation and God's mercy. Lord, we are blessed by all the wonderful gifts that you've placed in our lives. We ask that you continue to walk with us every minute of every day. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please stand with us as we sing our closing.